We're dealing with Jehovah Rapha. Lord is my shepherd, a friend, one who cares about my well-being and the finished works or the destiny that I will end up at. That's his the key thing. We're dealing with all the gods and the names of God. We're dealing with this week on Jehovah Rapha means God. Jehovah means God reveals himself to me as. And the key to this whole concept that I'm trying to get you to see is the different individual beings that is inside the one God that you are trusting on, that allowing you to see the different parts of him that is functioning and moving. Back in the Bible, when he revealed these to these individuals, that was the main portion of God that he was presenting in their lives. And in David, he was teaching him about the shepherd or the friendship relationship that he had with him, knowing that a friendship or shepherd relationship was a twofold relationship going back unto God and from David unto the people. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, not only for our confessions, we thank you, Lord God, for just the word all within itself, the way you have allowed it to illuminate in our lives and to strengthen us when we get weak, to show us, Lord God, the trueness of you, and to help us get out of our adversity and out of our way and out of our troublesome times. We ask that this word tonight be a light into somebody's pathway tonight, Lord God, to help them see why you God and what you're trying to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we dealt with the terminology of Jesus being, about 3 weeks ago, we dealt with the terminology of Jesus being the shepherd inside the New Testament. Today we're going to deal with the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep and a relationship that what God was trying to reveal unto the people inside the Psalms 23 by a song that David wrote. Most of the Psalms, that those don't know, that you can find where David wrote them after a situation, a battle, or an event. This is one of the Psalms that he wrote that does not, and you cannot pinpoint one event that caused him to write this. The reason why is this song right here comes from his total or his totality of life relationship between him and God. A shepherd relationship to a sheep is not by one event. And that's why I have serious problem with individuals when they only see God at one time in their life. A relationship with God should be an ongoing, moving relationship that it becomes stronger day by day. If you are the only testimony you have out of your mouth about God is something happened 10 years ago, there's a problem with him being a shepherd. He is not revealing himself to you as Jehovah Rapha, because he's not revealing himself totally, constantly in your life. Now, a shepherd is somebody that the sheep totally depends on. A shepherd is somebody who is there in the good time and the bad. All for a season, a shepherd makes it more comfortable for the sheep, but it does not remove the elements from the sheep. The sheep got to learn to fend for themselves by the elements or what's around it. Only thing the shepherd do is try to get them to a better place. Now, in the getting to the better place, they still have to endure to get to that better place. So they still have to go by their own strength, and they still have to go by their own wool. They still have to go by what they have on the inside of them. A shepherd do not do everything for the sheep. So let's just get this straight right now. When you get into this relationship with God inside Christ today, stop looking for God to do everything for you. A shepherd just leads the sheep. The sheep still have to walk over the rough terrain. They still got to endure the heat. They still got to endure the cold. They still got to endure if there's not a water. They still have to endure these things. So guess what? Every last one of y'all is living the life of a shepherd to the sheep and a sheep to the shepherd right now. Y'all are enduring. So only thing he's trying to do is get you to a place that is better off than where you are right now. But you still feeling the effects of it till you get what? To the destination. Now, another myth we're going to kick to the curb is we're dealing with the shepherd and the sheep, and we like to say inside the church today is that we always think that we are solely there for the shepherd. I mean, the shepherd is solely there for us, or God is solely there for us at our beck and call. Let me express something to you about the sheep to the shepherd. Let me get to this. He reaps the rewards from the shepherd by taking good care of him, by removing the wool off of him in the springtime to make a coat for himself, and eating him at the end. Do y'all understand that the reason why God takes so much care for you, because you have provisions on the inside of you that he needs back into him? And at the end of your life here on this earthly realm, he receives the best reward. You know what that is? Meat for his table. You know what that is? You. Your soul. And I love this, because this is why the relationship for the shepherd to the sheep and the sheep back to the shepherd, to me, is the most precious relationship inside the body of Christ. Forget about just him being your God, one that you worship. I'd rather have him on this relationship than any other one. Because you know why? I'm doing my job. I have to do things to make it well-pleasing to him. But if anything happens where I get lost or I messed up, he's obligated to come find me. Isn't that awesome? So we want to deal with the 23rd Psalm, how it should resonate in your spirit, and how it should teach you some, hallelujah, something about your going forth relationship with God, how he deals with you and how he deals with me. And you need to get out of your pity party, because your pity party is not moving God. You think that the shepherd is really concerned when his sheep is fake crying, man, what they do? Paying no mind. Why? They hear it all the time. They know the real cry of help from a sheep than just a whiny, because it is uncomfortable. Do y'all understand that your walk is supposed to be uncomfortable? Do you understand that every day of your life here right now should be uncomfortable? Your life should not be every day that you are in third heaven and everything just works out on your behalf. If it is working out every day on your behalf, there's something seriously wrong with your relationship, and you need to check it right now, because you're not one of the saved. Can I teach like I want to teach tonight? Can I seriously wake you up tonight and get you out of this crazy movement that you are in? It's supposed to be rough. It's supposed to be tough. You're supposed to endure mountain climbs. You're supposed to endure low valley points. You're supposed to go to drought season. You're supposed to go through the rainy season. You're supposed to eat one day really fat and the next day be hungry. It is a normal movement inside your Christian walk to endure all of these afflictions and come out on top. Hallelujah, I feel like teaching tonight. But the problem I have, you act like that we all ain't in the same herd together. Let me express this to you. You're not the only one that's going through. We all in the same herd together. All of us is going through. Can anybody in here that's not going through something right now raise your hand? Please, just give me somebody in here that's not going through something. Please, stretch your hands high. Look around in this room, everybody. So that means every last one of us is enduring something right now. Either we being beat across the head by the sun that's beaming down on us. We're going through a drought season. We're going through a rainy season. We all enduring. And you don't think God knows that we are enduring? He's trying to get us through the valley into a green pasture, a safe place. We have to grow up and be great sheep. We have to understand our relationship that he is trying to present to us. He is tired of the father to the child relationship that we want to live in inside Christ Jesus. Everybody want him to be the father, because we know that the father to the son relationship, he have to take care of me. I love the shepherd to the sheep relationship, because that means I have to do my part. And I'm giving something back. A child don't have to give nothing back but a bunch of heartaches and pain and disappointments. And he is obligated as being a father because of the blood that runs through the vein to still take care of that child. But the relationship of the shepherd to the sheep is a relationship that I'm trying to provide. I mean, I'm trying to strive to be a part of, because that means I have to walk with him. If I stumble, he'll pick me up. But as long as I have enough strength, I'm obligated to walk with him. He should not have to beg me to come along. Should not have to dangle a piece of candy in front of me for me to behave. When he moves, my sheep know my voice, and another one that don't follow. All they have to do is say, Glenn, go. A sheep moves when he say move. Nobody wants to talk about, and I know, I guarantee you, none of y'all have heard. No, I guarantee probably about three or four of y'all may have heard of the shepherd to the sheep relationship is the ideal relationship that God is trying to get us to be in. Everybody in here, all we hear about is the father to the son relationship, correct? The obligation relationship. This is no obligation. That's why he said when he dealt with the lost sheep, he dealt with it on three forms of being a three different as lost, or the three identity people that's inside the body of Christ. It's the prodigal son, who it was the daddy waiting out every morning looking across the hill on the obligation that he still have to be daddy, and the son can do what he wants to do. And if he come back across the hill, everybody look at this story being a pretty story. It's really not a pretty story. It's about, well, I got to take him back. Cameron and Portia and G and Doris can act like a fool all they want to, but I'm obligated to what? Right? The corn is a non-relationship, but you're just in the house. That's a lot of folks is just sitting here, but you're in the house. And so what it is, when you go to move, because you got talent, he uses you, but it really is not a relationship. It's just the talents that you have, the gift that you have that is used. But it's sad, because you can stay in the house, but as soon as you being used, you're no good to him. You have nothing but a one-use concept. But then it was the sheep to the shepherd relationship, where he left and went and got him. The prodigal son daddy didn't go get him. This is the key to that relationship. When he found him, they say he picked him up, put him on his shoulder, and carried him back. Never said he couldn't come back, but if he picked him up and put him on his shoulder, evidently he was wounded to a place where the shepherd felt obligated to what? Because if he was at a normal, had his normal ability, when he seen him, the sheep automatically follows. I love the relationship of the sheep to the shepherd and the shepherd to the sheep. Because the relationship is powerful. On as long as you can stand, God wants you to follow. But if you get to the place where you can't stand, he'll pick you up and carry you. Hallelujah. That's why the church is dying, because we're making fun of those that cannot walk. And we think they're not saved. They just strain their legs. In a couple of months, they'll be just fine, back at full strength. That's why I say the whole heaven rejoiced after the one that was called back into repentance, or brought back, or restored. Hallelujah. So I want to deal with this on a relationship of that we need to have inside the body of Christ, what we need to be striving for. And it's sad, because we lack this relationship so much in this ministry that you have people, and I like to call them the Sunday saints. You got people who only come to God for when they're in trouble. Oh God, and it's bad, because a sheep is around him all the time. Actually, in the story, when he was in trouble, he wasn't around. Wow. Y'all ready? Let's go. The Lord is my... Who's reading? I'm going to show you what he does in a relationship when you get... I want y'all to look at this, please. I want y'all to look at relationship. This is a relationship. I want you to show you the relationship that he is striving for us to have. I love this psalm, and I hate it, though, when they use it at funerals, because it's pulled totally out of contents of what David was intended for this to be said in. This is a psalm of life and relationship. It's a song about relationship and life going forward, not at the end. You want to read a scripture that is proper for funerals and going home service, read what Paul said to the church. He fought a good fight. He ran a good race. His time of departure is at hand. That's cool to read this. Or you can even read about what in the gospel said. But this right here, stop saying this at funeral. Because this is about him trying to develop a relationship. A psalm should be preached and taught to those who wants to become leaders inside the body of Christ. This is your national anthem of leadership, where you need to be in a relationship with God. I feel like teaching tonight. I know I'm hawking on this because I want you to understand that every last one of us got a mechanism on the inside of us that need to be clicked on and switched on to get us out of that baby mentality of a father to son to a relationship of a sheep to a shepherd, where you doing your part and you just around him and he just around you. And if you ain't doing anything, y'all just around each other, both of y'all having just a good time. And guess what? All the time, danger is around them. Wolves, heat, elements, no water. But when they're in the fold, you can never tell. It's a trust factor, hallelujah, between the two that is without question and without hesitation. And it starts it off too strong for me even to take it down. The Lord is the present tense of be, is a constant, not a one-time movement. Not an obligation that he sits back on the throne and then forget about me. Every day, he is my shepherd. When I wake up, he's my shepherd. When I go to bed, he's my shepherd. Until I leave here, he still is my shepherd. A shepherd is a person who tends and rears sheep. And I have to give you the formal definition of it at the level where it needs to be at, and then I'm going to take you to these two words, and really what these two words are simply saying, the true meaning of these two words and what it's really saying, because you and I, because we are underneath of the New English, we take words and we change these words, and we don't have the proper meaning for these words. So we're dealing with two words. The first one is tend, T-E-N-D-S, tends, and rears, R-E-A-R-S, rears in most of our terminology is the backside, right? The rear end of a car. That's not where the word started from, huh? That's where the word started from. Rear means to build up, to raise up, or to erect as a building. To leave it higher than where it started. A sheep's job is to build up, to raise up, and to erect you, to leave you at the end stronger than when you was at the beginning of your relationship. Don't care about your everyday. Don't care about your everyday ups and downs when you're in a relationship. He's going to do what is right for you to get you to your end. So you can cry if you want to. It still got to be performed. What happened when you break your arm inside the hospital? Somebody ever broke your arm or broke a bone in the hospital? What do the doctor do? Okay. Lady Marguerite said, do an x-ray. Nah, the x-ray people do the x-ray. The doctor, first thing he do, come in and do what? In his evaluation, what he does? Do he really care when you're going to say, ouch? Do he really care that you're going to back away? It hurt. I look at them sometimes. They don't care. They really, and we all about no bedside manner. They don't care about what you are right now. Their job is to fix the problem and get you so at the end you are better than what you are right now. All babying you up right now in the state that you are in is not going to help the situation. That's where we messes up. Don't hurt my baby. Well, you want him, okay, you want to walk around the rest of the day with his arm like this? Because all we care about the here and now. He have to reset this. So, guess what he going to do? I never forget, and I learned this from me, myself, and I got shot in the leg. And when I got shot in the leg, it was kind of wild. It was, I don't even tell. Yeah, this one. I got shot in the leg. So I had to spend 10 weeks in traction. And I did it to myself. Right here below my knee, there's two points right here. They ran a rod through this right here, and they put weights underneath of it. So I sit up in the bed like this because I got hit with a hollow point bullet right here. It's just a little thing, but when it hit, it shattered. And it shattered my bone from here down to my knee, but everything was intact. They had a couple of concepts that they do. One was to drill the middle of your bone out, throw a rod down through there, put a cast on you, you're good to go. They couldn't do that because the bone was shattered. It was perfectly stayed. It was all together. But it was like a glass. Any of y'all ever seen a windshield shatter? But still, that's what it was. They actually said I couldn't and I wouldn't be able to run anymore because they was really determined that it was going to fall to pieces, and they didn't know how to deal with it if it would to fall to pieces because it would just go all over the place. So they said, well, we'll put him in traction. As long as he's staying still, he may make it, he may not make it. Well, long story short, I had to stay. I was supposed to stay there for 12 weeks. But, you know, when you get in bed for 10 weeks, you know, you get kind of bored. So, you know, I was to take the rod that was going through here. I used to play this game and just push it back and forth, you know, have fun with it, you know. Now, let me express something to you. You cannot push a metal rod with your dirty hands on it through your body because eventually what's going to happen? Anybody know? There you go. So they came in. My bottom of my leg got infected. It was all pussed up and stuff like that. So they had to take and do it two things. They either had to go ahead and try to put the cast on it now or try to get the infection out. They couldn't get the infection out, but they had to get rid of the rod because the rod was causing the infection. So they go in my room, and they messing with it, trying to put this cast on it. Now, my whole leg hurt. Let me express to you. from the not where the bullet's at, where the rod was. It was swollen. It was pussy. Every time you go to touch it or I move it, I would scream out, yeah. They came in to do the, what you call them, and they was wrapping it up and all this and messing with it. I was holding it together, working against it. He said, something wrong here, and he seen my head. He said, you got to stop doing that. I said, it hurt. Give me a minute. He said, I really don't care about you right now. If I don't take care of this problem with you right now, you're going to lose your whole leg. He didn't care how much I was screaming, hollering in pain. He knew the final destination. If he didn't get that thing out right now, I was in danger of losing my whole leg. What God is doing to some of y'all, he don't care about you right now, what you're going through right now. He knows if you don't get rid of it right now, and if you're going to be lost forever. So you are enduring pain right now that you won't endure hardship, pain, suffering, and much, much more later on. That's a sign of a good shepherd, one who tends. This is what I love. Tends means to pay attention to its needs. He serves or he is attended to the needs. Not you. We messed that up. We messed that up. We messed that up. We think God is attended to us. We think God is at our beck and call. He's only attended to the word that says that he got to provide all of your needs. So if it ain't what he does, it ain't your determination. See, this is why everybody messes up. It's not your determination whether it's a need or a want. Lord, I need that. He's looking and he's checking the list. He say, well, they don't really need that to make it. So that really is not a need. So it's a want. What's a need to you is not a need to God. So let me mess with a couple of y'all in here. Some of y'all think you need a man. It's a want. Some of y'all think y'all need a brand new car. You think you need a brand new car? It's a want. He has checked the list and checked it twice and come to the conclusion that you really don't need it. That right, man. I know I had my amen corner coming in. He was like, die. You ready? The relationship that he presents himself or reveal himself as a God to me, he pays attention to my needs, and or he builds me up or erects me according with my needs until I'm finished or completed. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not stop wanting. Wanting means, wanting is no option in this relationship, because wanting means that God is not doing his job. Let me say that again. Wanting is not an option in this relationship of a shepherd to a sheep, sheep to the shepherd, because wanting by you means that God is not doing his job as your shepherd. So what you saying when you say you want, you say God is not your shepherd. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Now, this is an adult relationship. When you holler about what you want, you saying he don't know what's good for you. He's not taking care of you. And you might as well call the cops and say it's shepherd abuse. Want means lack or to be without or to have a need. Want means you're lacking in an area, you're going without, and you have a need that is not being fulfilled by God. It's tough, ain't it, that? Makes you check on some stuff, ain't it? It's good teaching here, ain't it, y'all? All right. So If you at that place in your life right now, we don't need to go no further. He's not your what? That means you can't even reap the benefits. So if I'm stuck at the wanting mode, I don't even reap the benefits of shepherd to sheep and sheep to shepherd relationship. And a lot of people are like that. So you're walking around, you're feeling the effects, but you're not reaping the benefit. God, that should be a bad place for some of us to be at, to have to fight with the devil and don't reap benefits because we got this wanting mentality that's driving us to come to church, driving us to give him a praise, driving us to bless him, because we figure that if we bless him hard, he will give us what we want. Look at somebody say, that's a father to a child relationship. Well, we manipulate parents and think that parents are too dumb to know what we are doing. So that's the relationship a lot of us have with Talia and Yaya, Doris, and Mia. Tron, still in his adolescent stage, G, Alisa, Royce, all of them. You ever see kids? Now, you ever see grown kids in church? Talked her up, didn't we? Talked that one up, didn't I? Okay, now, I got to get out of my wants because I want to reap the benefits of me having an adult relationship with God. Y'all ready? Everybody go, number one benefit of being inside a shepherd to a sheep relationship with God. He make me do things that I don't want to do. Look at somebody say, this is a good thing. Good God Almighty. Mankind's natural instinct is not to go right. And some of y'all do not know which way to go. And sometimes we can be a little stubborn, just a little. So he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He causes me to lie down at a place where I would obtain growth. That's what that means. It befits me to allow him to do it. Notice what I just said. We want to move when we should be. So sometimes when we want to go, he maketh us lie down because he knows it's best for us not to go. Now, he won't give you what you want. He allows nothing to go on in your life. He throws up walls when you don't want them to be because you move in too fast and the end of what you're about ready to do is death. A shepherd sees the future and will not give you what you want because it's better for you to be right there where you are not doing anything than be doing the wrong thing. So this scripture, what it's saying right here is he make me stay still when I want to be. When you get not anxious, but, you know, you ever get people that just wants to go and do things. Overzealous. Because sometimes we're our worst enemy because we want to get to the next level too quick. Anybody ever had God stop you? Had something come up? One thing to hinder you from getting what you wanted? That's God making you. Leave it alone. Stop. You don't need that car. You don't need that home. There's something else. You don't need that man. That's why you got the arguing. But when God makes us, it always hurt our feelings. That's it. It doesn't hurt our spiritual man. It only hurts our feelings. God don't love me. Your feelings is hurt. When God makes you do something that you don't want to do, your little feelings get hurt because you're still acting like a little kid. Tension tantrum time. Yes. Up inside church. What's your tension tantrum? Pouting. Mad. Upset. Sitting there like a bump on a log with a bitter spirit ready to set in because God did not give you what you, when he's your shepherd, he make it you lie down. But what the place that he's making you lie down is a green pasture or the place for growth. Oh, my gosh. And when you get up to move, you be like, you know, I really didn't need that. I tell everybody all the time, I'm so glad that I didn't make it when I was young. Because if I wouldn't be in church, trust me, y'all. First time I did my business, if I've been a multi-million-dollar business, wasn't strong enough. I mean, ain't used to lying to you. Wasn't mature enough. Some things failed in our life because we wouldn't be here if it were. Now you can handle it. So where you thought it wasn't green really was green. It caused you to grow on the inside, and then you're ready to walk and move. All right, next one. What's the next verse? Who's reading?
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Mm-hmm. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Leadeth means to lead, to give, or to cause rest, to guide to a watering place. He guides me in a resting place, a place of tranquility, a place so if I only follow him, I have peace in my life about everything that he's doing for me. He leads me beside still water. When it's time to move, I have peace about it. If you don't have peace in your life, it's because God is not leading you. The decision that you have made is your decision, not yours and his. And I'm saying it like this. Can I do it like that? Like my daughter is trying to do when she wasn't led by the Spirit to go to New York. She's going to make it work so she can prove everybody that that was the right decision. So instead of turning around and coming back, instead of us turning around and going back and say, I messed up, we try to make something work that is not. That's why we don't have peace. That's why every time we touch something that it ain't working, it ain't prospering. That's why it's such a struggle. That's why you got this right here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Right there. Something you can be struggling with and have peace about it and it works out. But you're just not happy. It's because he's not leading you beside still water. Next. Come on, let's rock this out, girl. Go ahead.
He restoreth my soul.
If you mess up, this is why this one falls behind and leads me out of still water. If you go down the wrong spot, he's here to tell you because of your shepherd. He's what? He do what?
He restoreth my soul.
He'll restore you. Hallelujah. So if you mess it up, guess what? You can't be restored. He brings me back and refreshes me. You ever hit the refresh button on anything? Anybody ever have a laptop or phone or computer or anything that keep on going around? You cut it off and refresh it where yet? Back at the beginning. Like it never happened, ain't it? Hallelujah. Man, I love this relationship. Because he knows you're going to mess up. He knows you're going to go down. So I put a clause in your life because then you lead us and we the shepherd to the sheep relationship and sheep to the shepherd is you have a refresh button automatically will be given to you if you realize you're going the wrong way. Only a fool going down a one-way street going to keep on going down. Eventually, you're going to hit on with somebody that going the right way. Nah, this is the right way. That sign is just wrong. All them cars just parked the wrong way. I'm going right. How stupid it is, but that's how we got some folks in this church. Because you don't want anybody to talk about you going the wrong way. They're going to talk, well, if you're going the wrong way, they have the right to talk about you. You ain't turned around by now. Let's be honest. 2 years going the wrong way. There's something going on with you. He brings me back, refresh me. He repairs me. He restores me. What do he restore? Watch this, y'all. What do he bring back? What do he refresh? Look at somebody say, my mind.
My mind.
Ready? My passion. My appetite to do things. My desires. And my being. So if you lost your love for the things you're doing with God, you're going the wrong way. Let me help you out right now. I'm going to help some of y'all right now. If you lost your desire, you lost your zeal, you lost your praise, you lost the willing to come and do the work of the Lord, it is not nobody else that have done it to you except for yourself. You're going the wrong way, and you are being torn up, and you have no peace, and you are refusing to turn around and go the right way. But if you turn around and go the right way and do the right thing and stop doing the things that are causing you to go down the path where you're going, God will restore your mind. He will restore your zealous being to do the things of God. To again, you'll have happiness, you'll have peace, you'll have joy in the Holy Ghost. All of that would automatically, it's not something that gradually come back on you. It automatically be thrown back in your life because now you done going down the right street, the right path that he wants you to go, that now you will reap the blessings and the benefits that he has for you. Next one. Come on.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
He takes me into the path of righteousness or track of righteousness or the entrenchment of righteousness, or he takes me around righteousness. God would always, when we're going the wrong way, take us around righteous people constantly. Different, ain't it? Y'all have never heard the 23rd Psalm said like this, right? Have you noticed? Whenever you're doing something wrong, he always brings people around you that illuminates the wrong that you're doing. Then you end up mad with them people. Always trying to tell me what to do. They ain't holy. They ain't righteous. But God leaded you in the path or brought you around righteousness so you can see that you're not right. Or you're not in right standings, or what you're doing is not justified by him. But you want to blame the people. But God, as your shepherd leaders, has set you into a place where he has brought a man of God to give you the word of righteousness so you can receive the word of righteousness. And you're sitting there in your chair mad at the man of God because he's all up in your business. Now somebody done told him what I'm doing. And now I know who told him. Nakia done told him what I'm doing. I'm on, man. I ain't man. Tell her nothing else no more. She ain't told nothing. It was God. Because God is your shepherd. He cares enough for your well-being to build you that he don't care where you're at right now and who you get mad at, that he's going to bring righteous folks around you that you may get yourself together. And it has nothing to do with you. It's for his name's sake. In other words, you can mess up your own name. You ain't going to mess up mine. Oh, my God. Yeah, you said you're Christian. I know you saved, so I have to get you right because you proclaiming me as being your shepherd. You're part of my click crew. I ain't doing no more tonight. Father God, we'd like to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to just be here, to hear your word, to gain revelation, to understand that which you need us to have to be successful Christians into your walk, continuing to look over and guide us and lead us into our future that we may obtain the destiny that you have purposed into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.